Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Praise ye the Lord. Wow, just as the Lord has been guiding us and moving us towards, a glorious and a perfect day by His word, month by month, this month the Lord has spoken. And He has spoken so vividly and so clear that everybody will understand. It is the things that He says that makes us hear. The things that He says that makes us hear. And this man, the Lord is speaking to you. First, in the book of Psalms, chapter number 138, verse number 8, the last verse in Psalm number 138, God is speaking to His church and speaking to everyone that belongs to this commission. In the seventh month of the 12th month of the year, He said that I will perfect the things that concerneth you. Those who said amen, may it be yours. And thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of your hand. How many of you believe that you are the handmaid of God? And the Bible says that the Lord will not forsake you. As a mother may be able to forsake her children, the Lord said that I will not forsake you. Somebody is blessed. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, in confirmation with what the Lord has already spoken earlier, in what many of you may call the Old Testament, which is still relevant in our days, 1 Peter 5:10, the Bible says that by the God of all grace, who had called us unto His glory, His eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while. Oh my God. There's this thing that bubbles in my spirit anytime I read that scripture. Because it comes to tell you and I that no matter the situation you find yourself, it is for a while. No condition that you're going through is ever permanent or will ever live for long. Is anybody here with me? It's for a while. It's for a while. It's for a while. He says that after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. The Lord will make you perfect. For the past 6 months of this year, it's almost like nothing is working for you. It's almost like you have been hidden and covered. It's almost like your prayers are hindered. It's almost like you're not seeing a headway out. It's almost like you've come to the end of the road. It's almost like nothing is working for you. But the Lord says that I'm bringing you into the seventh month to perfect you. So, what is the Lord saying based on these two scriptures? He says, I should tell somebody whose heart is engaged and will forever remain with Him that this month is your supernatural perfection month. Oh, I thought you were clapping better. It's your supernatural perfection. You know, perfection is of God, and perfection means to be completed. Perfection means to be whole and to come to a conclusive conclusion. God says, I'll perfect. That means I'll bring it to a perfect end. There will not be any shadow of doubt or any traces of uncertainties. Come on. He said, I will make it work. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what you are looking for. I don't know your expectation. But that saith the word of the Lord. That after you have suffered a while, there comes a time in your life that it looks like you almost give up and nothing seems to work for you. And all hell is breaking loose and there's no hope and there's no one to call on to, no one to look up to. I had a bullshot. The psalmist said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And out of the hills will come your help. And that help will bring you out of that situation. And that of that you find yourself. Hallelujah. But God has spoken. God has spoken. God has spoken. You want to say, Father, as you put your right hand on your head and declare that, Father, confirm the word of your servant over my life, perform the counsel of your messenger. Father, this month, let it be my month of supernatural perfection. Come on, open your mouth and talk to God. Let it be my month of perfection. Come on, is anybody praying? Is anybody praying? Perfect the things that concerns my life. Lord, perfect. Come on, open your mouth, Lord, perfect it, Lord. That which you promised me. Lord, perfect. Everybody, my new breath. Is anybody praying? Confirm the word of your servant. Perform the counsel of your message. Father, we thank you. You alone is worthy to be praised. You alone can do this, Lord. If we are here in your presence, it is by your grace that has brought us this far. We thank you, Lord Jesus. All your miracles, the testimonies we are hearing on this altar. We celebrate you because you are a faithful God. Unto you be all glory and honor, dominion, majesty, power, and authority. This morning we say you are worthy. Holy Spirit, this moment we acknowledge you. We bid you welcome. Brood over your word and make it happen. Brood over your people and cause us to hear. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And let the saints who are ready to say amen shout a big amen. Please come and try and say ewo eradidemo. Amen. Somebody is blessed. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I love to introduce most of my messages in English, but I'll try to start this time with she. Somebody's blessed. Father, we give you praise once again. Holy Spirit, let the grace to deliver your word come as you did in the first service. Amen. Wow. We serve a good God. How many of you believe we serve a good God? A good God. God who is good in all his ways, and his love is so strong, and he does what he wants, and he will always want to perfect that which he starts. God doesn't want to experiment with our lives, neither does he give chances when it comes to your life, and therefore whatever he purposed to do, he always wants to bring it to a successful completion, and want that which he starts to always come to a place of glory. This man, God has spoken, and spoken vividly, and says that I'll perfect that which concerns your life. That suggests that God would always perfect, But that notwithstanding, there's one area that I want us to look at that God would love and is yearning to bring perfection, because that thing really centers and bothers so well on our well-being and how well we are able to make it in life and even in this kingdom. Because we serve a God who is rich and prosperous. How many of you believe that God is not a poor person, a poor man sitting somewhere? God is not a pauper. God is not a beggar. But God is rich, and God owns everything, and he's loaded and he's dusted, and God doesn't necessarily need anything from you, but God wants to give you. God always wants to add onto your life. So there's one area in our lives that I believe God wants to perfect. And then when he does perfect it, it actually answers to almost all our prayer points and everything we've been asking and receiving from him. Anytime we come before him, almost everything we ask of him centers on one thing. And that has to do with our finances. That has to do with money. That has to do with our prosperity. That has to do with riches. That has to do with we having wealth. Amen. So for our Sundays, we'll be looking at perfecting financial fortunes. God says, I'll perfect that which concerns your life. And what is he perfecting? God wants to perfect you financially. He wants you to be loaded, and he wants you to be blessed. He wants you not to be a pauper like some other people. He doesn't want you to be a beggar, but he wants you to be like him. God is loaded. He's damn loaded. He got a lot of money. God is rich. Come on, tap somebody and say, God is rich. God is rich. God is rich. God is rich. The book of Proverbs says that money answereth all things. Money answereth all things. God doesn't take pride and glory when we are poor and when we don't have anything. In fact, God is not happy when we are poor. The Bible says that let them shout for joy, them that favors my righteous cause. Let them say continually that the Lord be magnified, for he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God wants you to prosper. Erade botane se wo obedie. Erade ani nye se ojidini odihia. Hia die enye nyankopon pe ema obibia. Ahokyere enye nyankopon pe ema obibia. Se wona ma hokyere mu a enye nyame pe no no. Ka cho nua se enye nyame pe no no. God wants you to prosper. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the prosperity is not a physical entity. It is not something physical, but it is a spiritual blessing that God releases. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18, the Bible makes it clear that thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he. Tell somebody it is he. Oh, yeah. Push it for further to another person. Say it is he. If he didn't or if she didn't hear it, push it to the one sitting behind you and say that it is he. It is he that giveth thee what? Power to make wealth. It is he that giveth thee power to make wealth. How many of you want to make wealth in this house? You want to be wealthy and wealthier. Then it is God that will give you the power to make that wealth in the name of Jesus. God wants to make you the way he is. God wants to make you the way he is. He doesn't want you to be different from who he is. He is wealthier. God is loaded, and therefore he gives power to anyone who comes to him so that he also will be loaded. That presuggests to me that God does not call us to take from us, but to make us. He doesn't call us to take from us. God does not call to take from you, but to give you. In other words, to make you. To make you. We have an assertion all over that God takes. God takes. If you come to church, you give an offering, you give tithe, you give all kinds of seeds and all that, and that the impression is that God is taking from you. No, God doesn't need your money, but God, when he calls you, wants to make you. There are different ban in China. One from my church, the one chain said, obey it, la la sula la, eh? The biana or jew or hob a dear. Near mum, but I own young coupon the front and said, obey ya wo or the four. Obey ya wo or the four. Obey ya wo or the four. Can I push this further? Obey ya wo, dear babe. Or the four, or the four, when you make penny say, who will be the ye? The young coupon and frow said, what do you obey everyone? I said it in the earlier service that the gods of this world take sacrifices from their people. But the God that we serve, who is our Father, doesn't take from us, but rather gives us. It is he that giveth the power to make wealth. God doesn't take wealth from you, but he gives you grace to make it, to make wealth. I pray for somebody today that the grace to make wealth be released over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. We are living in a society where people think that when you are into the kingdom business, or you are into the church, and you are serving God and you are doing something, then all that you need is to take from people. No, God would not call you to take from you. At least, I mean, come to think of it, how much do you need to make God happy and to satisfy him? How much do you have to make God satisfied? But when you come to God, He rather makes you and give you rather than you giving him. Is that point established? We cited an example with Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 2, when God called Abraham. The Bible said, he said that I'll make your name great. I'll make your name great. I'll bless you and make your name great. God says, I'll bless you and I'll make your name great. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great. God called him out of his family, out of his father's house, and said, go to the place that I will show you and I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And your descendants will be. God said a lot to Abraham. But the good news is that as Abraham obeyed the word of God, whatever God spoke concerning him came to pass. God made Abraham to be what he wanted him to be. Whenever God calls you out of a place, then he's taking you to somewhere that you need to be. And financially, I see God lifting people from a lower level to a higher dimension. Somebody is going to command wealth in this house like never before, because God wants to make billionaires out of this place. Let me tell you, when we are calling for people who will support the kingdom business, it shouldn't be unbelievers. It shouldn't be people outside the church. In fact, it shouldn't be people who doesn't know much about God and doesn't even love him, but want to show up with your money. When the time comes and we are calling for people to be a blessing to the ministry and to expand and enlarge the kingdom, God expects you to do that. That is why he wants to load you up. He wants to release that grace and that anointing upon your life, that you and I will be so dusted in all our doings and we will show forth his glory unto the world. God is looking for you. Salt, I am a candidate of blessing. I am a candidate of blessing. Don't be left out. Don't be left out. Don't be left out. Tap three people and say, don't be left out. I am a candidate of blessing. If you are sleeping, shake them and say, pastor says, you are a candidate of blessing. In case you forgot it, I'm telling you, you are a candidate of what? Blessing. God rather gives and makes than taking from you. Wow. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 4 and 5. I'm building my points. Gradually we'll get there. He said that labor not to be rich. 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 The blessings of the Lord makes rich. But labor not to be rich. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich. It is he that giveth thee power. It is he. It is he. Tell somebody it is he once again. Then labor not. If it is he that makes you or gives you power to be wealthier, and yet labor not to be rich. Because bread and good is coming. He says that labor not to be rich. Why should you not labor to be rich? Because the blessing doesn't come out of laboring. Can I push it further? Am I teaching somebody here? The blessing doesn't come as a result of what? Laboring. He says that labor not to be rich, cease from thy own wisdom. That suggests also to me that it does not take, your own wisdom. Does not take your know-how, it does not take your experience, it does not take your degrees like that of the thermometer, it does not really count to your experience or who you know or your business connection that makes you rich. Labor not to be rich, cease from your own wisdom. Why? Because it is he that giveth the power to be rich. Is there anybody here who wants to be wealthy? I'm speaking to you about the kingdom way by which you can be dusted and be loaded. I'm speaking to you the right way, the perfect way that God has ordained for you to be rich in everything. I'm talking about money coming into your hands. I'm talking about you having the ability to be able to build your own house, to be able to buy your own car. I'm speaking to people whereby God is lifting you from one level of richness to another level. Are there people like that who desire to be rich? Oh my God. Then it has to be a kingdom way. The Bible says, Lebanon to be rich. Lebanon to be rich. Cease from your own. Ah. Is somebody following me? Cease from your own heart. Prosperity in the kingdom is not a function of your wisdom. It's not a function of your ability or your qualification or anything, but it's the function of that spiritual impetus, that anointing that comes upon you and defy all odds of curses and anything that is trying to bring struggles in your life and makes you stagnate in all kinds of businesses, but then it breaks you free. The anointing that breaks you free, and I feel that anointing is coming on somebody here. If God is looking for people in this house who will become pillars and structures of a financial, laurels, may it be you. Oh my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. I don't know how much you want to be blessed when you are not willing to take the responsibility of blessing. I don't know how possible that will be. You want to be rich, but you don't want to take responsibility of blessing. I pray that somebody takes responsibility right now. Verse number 4. Have you done verse number 4? Okay, verse number 5. Now everybody look at me. Say that. Will thou set thy eyes upon which is not? You set your eyes upon that which is not. You set your eyes upon that which is not. You say, I set my eyes upon that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves what? They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. You know what? In as much as you chase after riches, riches has wings and they fly away. So all of us, to some level of understanding, we are all chasing something which is not. Because in as much as you desire it and you are chasing for it, then that thing is also flying away. So you never get to it, you never get satisfied, you never get, fulfilled with whatever riches you need. You just chase for it, but you never get it. But the Bible says that cease from thy labor. He said, labor not to be rich, cease from thy own wisdom. Because riches have wings, and if you pursue it, you will never get it. But then if you perceive God, if you pursue God, if you run after God, I told you from the first service that God will make you a gold miner. Oh, I don't know about you. Can I rephrase that statement and rewind? Is somebody here with me? If you chase for gold, you will not hurt, you will not find it. But then if you chase after God, God will make you a gold miner. Is somebody here with me? Let us cease from our own wisdom. I'm not saying work is not good. I'm not saying work is bad. I'm not saying don't work. No, 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 no. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Tell somebody don't get pastor wrong. Because there are channels of blessing. And there are baskets. Say baskets. If God wants to bless you, He will not bless you in isolation. God will bless you through the basket. And the basket becomes the work you do. That is what gathers the blessing. Is somebody understanding me? There are channels through which God blesses. And one of the channels that God can bless you is through the work of your hands. He said, I will prosper the work of your hands. So don't get me wrong when I talk about work. I'm not saying stop working. But I'm talking about the struggles that are associated with work. The tediousness and the difficulties, the pain and the perplexities that a man had to go through in order to find something to eat. That God says, I will take the burden out of you and I will make the work to be much easier and much fulfilling. How many times haven't you been working but yet little comes into your hands? You work so hard but yet you come with the little. It means that it is not about what you do but it's what is associated with what you do. And the limitations and the confrontations that are emitted with you. Yesterday, by the grace of God, I was exposing the those on the CDG service concerning rest. And one of the revelations God gave me as I was pondering and meditating on rest is that we have associated or kind of correlated rest to be not working. Okay, so if I'm not in working, if I'm not working, if I'm staying at home, or what are you doing? I'm resting. Resting means that I'm refrained from work. I'm refrained from work. No, to have a rest doesn't mean you have refrained from work or you're not doing anything at any point in time. Get me right. Is somebody here with me? To refrain from work does not mean rest. Is somebody here with me? To refrain from work means that you have become redundant. Is somebody understanding me? You have become redundant. You don't have anything to do. And that does not mean you are resting. But to have rest that the Bible is talking about, called the seventh day, the Bible says that, and God, blessed the seventh day, which is the day of rest, the Sabbath day. God blessed it. God blessed it, which means that it is a realm, a state, or an environment that one enters into. You get into the realm of blessing on the seventh day. On the seventh day, one is blessed. On the seventh day, one is blessed. That suggests that to be at rest means that God is taking the problems that are associated with your work, the struggles, the pain, the perplexities, the difficulties that makes you struggle in the work. You work so hard, but little comes into your hands. God says that you will work little and you will get more. That is a blessing. Am I speaking to anybody here? It doesn't matter what you are doing, the business you are confronted with. It doesn't matter what business you are doing or your career. God can use that to be a blessing unto you. I know people who are not doing any much business. They don't need to become the CEOs. They don't need to become, the bigger person in their company. But yet God is blessing them. They are just laborers, but yet they are being blessed. They sell ice water, but yet they are being blessed. They go about messaging. They are sent all around. They are sent on errands, but yet they are blessed. Therefore, blessing is not associated with the kind of work you do, but it is the grace of God, the strength, the power, that spiritual impetus that when it comes upon your life, it breaks you free from all difficulties, all pain. Oh my God, are there people here that God is releasing that blessing upon? I don't know about you, but it doesn't mean you need to struggle to make ends meet. Stop chasing money, because money has wings. I don't know about you, but if you chase for God, God will make you a gold mine. I see God making people gold mines here. Is anybody here with me? Am I speaking to somebody? Therefore, I come against any struggle, any pain, any that is associated with the kind of work you do, the struggles, the frustration that comes with it. Sometimes work has become so tedious and so burdensome that you feel like not going to work, because when you go, you come in with little, sometimes with nothing at all. But I came by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the strength that is upon my life, and I led to permanent rest. Every struggle and frustration that is associated with your work, I pray in the name of Jesus. The other day, the Bible said that Peter told Jesus that, "Master, we have worked all night long." That was a frustration associated with his work. He was frustrated. Look at a whole fisherman, somebody versed in the experience of fishing, to the extent that right from his infancy, he was trained to be a fisherman. Therefore, he couldn't go to school. You know that Peter didn't go to school? How can you go to school if your father is taking you to the shore to go and fish? So all his life he was fishing. Look at the level of experience at that time that Peter had. But yet on this particular night, the Bible says, he said, "Master, we have worked all night long." What has changed? What has turned? There was a difficulty. There was some kind of a cloud of darkness around the business. Things were not working. Nothing seems to be working for him. All his experience has ceased and nothing was showing up. Therefore, he was mending his net. Mending the net. Mending the net means that the case is closed. There's nothing else to be done. I'm mending my net. Tell somebody, I'm mending my net. I pray that the Lord is speaking to somebody here. Sometimes you almost give up in that business because you are mending your net. Can you imagine early morning where you're supposed to open your shop and begin to welcome customers to come and buy? You are now taking stock. To take stock means that you are closing the sales. Is anybody here with me? The time you're supposed to make sales, you are closing the sales, you are taking stock. That is exactly what it means when they were mending their neck, because nobody was coming to buy. Nobody was coming. Business has been so bad and poor. But the Bible said, when he encountered Jesus, he said that, Peter, I know you have been struggling. You've been chasing for fishes so that you can make ends meet. I know you've been chasing for those things so that you can at least take care of your family. It's not a bad idea at all, but you missed it. You missed it. Sometimes your focus is what determines what comes to you. What you focus on determines how much you receive. He focused on the fishes and got nothing. But he said that, focus on me. Jesus said that this time, I'm speaking my word to you. Focus on me. Launch into the deep. And you would have a surprise for yourself. Peter looked at Jesus and said, are you talking to me? Do you know what we have done? The investment we have made. And yet nothing is working. But looked at Jesus and said that, Master, at your word. At your word. All of a sudden, the darkness that has shrouded the business broke. The difficulties, the pain. Now Peter is working, but is working in rest. Peter is no more working with struggles, but he's working in rest. And if you are working in, rest, you are walking in blessings. Therefore, at thy word, they ended up having a net breaking and a boat sinking miracle. I don't know the kind of work you do, but I came sent by God to release a word over your life and that of your business. And I decree and declare that in this season, let every struggle, every frustration associated with your work be laid to permanent rest. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Let it be laid to rest. Come on, let it be laid to rest. The frustration you face, the pain you carry, the trouble you have, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is speaking to me. Somebody, you have worked many years, yet without promotion. God says it is time to be promoted, because that burden is broken. Ah, that frustration is broken. Somebody, you have lost interest in your job, but God says, and I'm about to restore you, in the name of Jesus. With the years that the locusts have eaten, the caterpillar, the canker worms, my great army, will I restore? I see God restoring you now, in the name of Jesus. For the blessings of the Lord make it rich. It adds no sorrows. The blessings of the Lord make it rich. It adds no sorrows. It is he that make a deal to have wealth. This morning, in the name of Jesus, every grace that you need, every strength that you need, every empowerment that you need to rise up from your misery, to rise up from your pain, to rise up from your perplexities, in your financial difficulties, I see God lifting you up. I see God lifting you up. Let that grace be released unto you. Now, in the name of Jesus, let that grace be released unto you. Receive it. David said, I'll be young and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Earlier on, David had already spoken I want you to go with me to Psalm number 35, verse number 27. Elion, let's start from somewhere. Let's start from somewhere. I want to release that word on somebody right now. I feel the move of God right here. Give me Psalm number 35. No. Okay, give me that one. Psalm number 35. Let me push that one again. Psalm number 35, verse number 27. Is anybody here with me? The Bible makes it clear that God delights in your prosperity. Say, He delights in my prosperity. Wow. The time is running over. Psalm 37, verse 21 to 25. Give me 37, 1 to 25. 37, 1 to 25. Let me push something here with you. Psalm 37, verse number 25. Start from 21. Now, everybody listen to the word of the Lord. He says that the wicked borrow it and pay it not again. The wicked borrow it and pay it not again. The wicked borrow it and pay it not again. The wicked borrow it and pay it not again. But the Bible says that, but the righteous showeth what? Mercy and giveth. Wow. Say the wicked and the righteous. Now, where do you stand? Are you sure? All right, let's continue. Verse number 20. He said that for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So the righteous will be blessed and they will inherit the earth. But the wicked who does not pay even when he takes shall be cut off from the earth. Is that what is there? Now verse number 24. Is it that now he says, for the righteous, this is what he will do. The steps of a good man, in other words, the righteous, are what? So the righteous who give it, the Bible says that he shall be blessed and shall inherit the earth. Is somebody following me? And the Bible says that the good man, his steps, ordered. See the progression as we're going. His steps are ordered by the Lord. The Lord delights in his way. So as you move, the Lord delights. What kind of year are they fed? What kind so a year are they fed? Into Sika Quanson, a year are they fed? What warrior Quanson, a year are they fed? What bravo, a bravo be a obono, a quin a year are they fed? If you said, Onona, Otutu, Wanamon, can I step that way? We are talking about the righteous, the one who give is called the righteous, the giver. Wow. The one who even borrows and does not pay, the Bible describes him as what? Wicked. It's more painful for bonini. Ono di onma. Amen. The Bible says, "Obe chane fi asasi so." Now, tini ni ni di obe yada in obe dias obe fa asasi so na yada in edi di ne rade beti tini na namon. Obe tutu na namon. Now, wa mane kwanso. I fe. Arebe mane kwanso I fe. Somebody here with me. Now, push it to the next scripture. Now, he says that. Push it, everybody go. Do you know why your business collapses and you don't come back to life? And that will be the end of you and your financial fortunes? Because you are likened to the wicked who is cut off because he borrows and doesn't pay. Are you understanding me? We are not talking about borrowing here, but we are talking about somebody who always wants to receive and doesn't want to what? Give. But the righteous is likened to the one who giveth. The Bible says he will inherit the earth. And the Lord will order. Now he said, I want you to take this loan, give it to this person, invest here. As you invest here, this is what's going to come. In fact, this bank is going to collapse. Take your money from there. Immediately, take that money, go and use it to roof your house, because that bank is about to collapse. The moment you drew the money, then the bank went into solvency. And then all of a sudden, he ordered your steps. Am I speaking to somebody here? Now he said, though he fall. The though simply means that there's a possibility, but it doesn't mean you will. Sometimes life becomes like that. The fact that you are falling doesn't mean you are down. Is somebody here with me? It takes a fool to remain down when you fall. But the Bible says that the righteous will fall 7 times and the Lord. What makes you righteous is not your inability not to fall. Come on, can I push this? That's the self-righteous people. The holier than thou people. I know they are here. The fact that you have not fallen doesn't mean you are better righteous than me. Is somebody here with me? And your being righteous doesn't mean you have never fallen. But the righteous, he said, the good man falleth. The righteous man falleth 7 times. And the Lord lift him up. In this 7th month, may there be a lifting for you. I said, in this 7th month, may there be a lifting up for you. Receive it now. I believe I'm preaching good. Oh, you will miss me Sunday. He said that though he fall, he shall not be utterly hurt. For the Lord. I see God upholding people financially. I see God upholding you financially. Spiritually, God is upholding you. It doesn't matter how down you have gone. How low you have become. It doesn't matter how people have subjected you. I see you are lifting up again. Let there be upliftment in this house. This he said. The next verse he talked about, he said, I have been young and now I am old. I have never ever seen the righteous. Oh, come on, wait. Who is the righteous here? Who is the righteous here? No, I'm not talking about you. I said, who is the righteous here? The giver. So right from the word go, he knows what he was talking about. So some of you can quote verse number 25 and say that the righteous, I've been young and now I'm old. The Bible says, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Who is the righteous? He started talking about the righteous being the giver, the one who gives. The Bible says in Proverbs that he that scattereth increases, but he that withholdeth tendereth into poverty. The giver is the righteous. And David said, I have been young and I'm old. I don't know how many years, but David was over 75 years. Throughout his life, he never encountered somebody who is righteous, somebody who is a giver, who had ever gone back to bed without food, who had ever lacked in any time of his life. I came to tell you, somebody, that be a giver. Oh, come on, can I push this further? Shall be a giver. Listen. Tap somebody and say, be a giver. Be a giver. Be a giver. Be a giver. Tell somebody, be a giver. Listen. Giving is not a function of what you have, but it's who you are. Push it. Giving is not a function of what you have, but who you are. The righteous is loaded. The righteous is loaded. Because to be righteous means to have a right standing with God. And anybody who comes into right standing with God comes in love with God. You become a lover of God. You become a lover of God. You become a lover of God. So what motivates your giving is your love that you have for God. If you are not a lover of God, you cannot give to God. The reason why you can't give to God is that you don't love God. Somebody say bam. The reason why you need to kind of think twice and check your bank account and begin to look into the future. Some of you, the moment we start fundraising, that is the time you start doing forecasting, financial forecasting. You know what financial forecasting is? You started begin to, write your expenses and then how much you are going to spend in the year and how much you have at your bank and how much you are going to receive at the end of the month. And you start deducting and say, Charlie, I'm going to live in lack. That is your mentality. You have no idea what God has for you. You have no idea the surprise is about to pull in your life. When you become a lover of God, he said, 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, no eyes have seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered the heart of any man. Come on, look at somebody here. You can see everything about a person, but you cannot perceive that which is in the heart. You can sit by the person, have a very wonderful time, but you don't know what they're thinking of you. God said that which I'm about to do in your life, no eyes have ever seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of any man. Not one, but the things. We are talking about loaded blessings. We are talking about added blessings. We are talking about blessings untold. The things that God has what? Prepared for those. If you are not a lover of God, you don't receive from God. God only gives to those who love him. The only way by which you show your love or express your love is in the giving. It's in the giving. Tell somebody it's in the giving. My love, drop it as you say it. My love is expressed in my giving. Me do a daddy. Ewo me memu me mano ene di adanse se me do urade enti se me ma na me nyaden una urade ana me bwa te e pari pasu. Is it a pari pasu? Urade. I think you are enjoying the word. God bless you for there. Oh, come on, are you jealous? I say may the Lord bless that lady there. We saw an example in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 3 to 5. A man called Solomon. Say Solomon. No. Come on, shout it better. Thank God we have Solomon in this house. Hallelujah. But the good news is this. The Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord. And you see, your love for God must not be math. Many of you love God math. Say math. Charlie, how many of you really love God? Let me see behind. You see, their hands are still down. Charlie, you guys are perfect people. Charlie, hey. How many of you love the Lord? Happy dancer. You see, I like genuine people. I really like genuine people. If there's somebody here who can confidently say that I don't love the Lord, I will love him. Because it shows. All of you, I can see you are all hypocrites. Because let me tell you something. Your love would definitely move you into an expression. The love of God didn't get Jesus sitting in heaven. The love of God did not get Jesus sitting in heaven. But the love of God moved the whole God machinery to come down here on earth. For who? Sinners, not even righteous people. You come to church 1-2 Sundays, then you are tired. In a month, you divide the number of Sundays you come to church, you call this love. I want that emoticon. Put it there. That emoticon now. Fatu screen is one. Have you seen what I'm talking about? You call this love? You call this love? When you have money sitting in your account and you want God, we want to build the house of God. What if you need? You call this love? Because yes, if you don't love the Lord, but you want to love him now, then it's better. Are you understanding me? But for you to profess you love the Lord but no action, you are a hypocrite. Can I push further? Don't worry. So we are talking about Solomon. Everybody read. And Solomon. Hold it. If anybody loves me, his word, obey my commandment. So love goes with obedience. Solomon walked in the statute of his father, David. Only he. Can I get somebody here? Who would only he? You see, when you read Bible, don't just jump, don't just run through. Only he. Do you know that David was more, blessed, or in terms of wealth, David was blessed than Solomon. Do you know that David single-handedly provided for the building of the tabernacle, the temple, the new temple? Are you understanding me? David was blessed. After all, he's the father. So in any case, he's blessed more than the son. Are you with me? But say that only he. I pray for you. Come on, I said I pray for you. Can I pray for somebody here? That a time will come in the history of this church. You will stand up and say, I'm raising a temple for the Lord. I'm building this for the Lord. I'm buying this for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. Somebody shout it if you are the one. Come on, shout it again. Only he. Only he. What did he do? His love for God had to move him into an expression of giving. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Come on, this is not a joke. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 1,000 burnt offerings. There could be sheep, there could be goats, there could be whatever. 1,000 burnt offerings. Only what a love. Can you compare your love to that of Solomon? Then you don't love God. Change your mind. How many of you now love God? Okay, bring your 1,000 offerings. Woo! I got you there. Then bring your 1,000 offerings. But it could be a symbolism of how deep his love for God is. Only he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And after he has done that, God was moved. Let me tell you, there are times that you must stop for a moment about your prayer points and start changing gear. When your prayers are not working, start changing gear. Start doing things differently. You know, it is easy for everybody to pray. It is easy, but it's not easy for everybody to have answers. But when you pray and the answers are not coming, change gear. There are other means by which you can touch the heart of God. There are channels of blessings. There are channels through which you can touch the heart of God. And one of them is your giving. God was moved and said, hey boy, ask me anything you want. How possible could that be for you? If God should ask you, ask me anything you want. I believe some of you are going to talk about, Lord, give me visa. Lord, you know, I need a visa. I need to travel, you know. Taligana is dull. I've told people time and again, a lizard in Ghana will never turn a crocodile in the UK. If you are blessed, you are blessed. And wherever you go, the blessings will follow you. There are people who have traveled and they are still struggling. So traveling doesn't make somebody any better. He didn't request for anything. That he said that you will give me the grace to be able to rule over your people. The wisdom and the ability to be able to dissect between the truth and to judge according to your precepts. And God said, have it. And in addition, I'm giving you wealth. Take it. How many lovers of God are here? Come on, pray and say, Lord, I love you. Come on, let it be your prayer for 30 seconds. Come on, express your love. Come on, express it. Kada boshi anara rebeli anderere osuri barada di darada. I feel the move. I feel the move. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to make this statement as I try to progress and come to a conclusion. I've been picking points from various places just to make up my message this morning. Sometimes I don't want to repeat myself in a service or in a day, but then if the word is very important, we need to hit it. Now, kingdom blessings or kingdom wealth, it's not acquired, but it is entrusted. Or kingdom wealth is not acquired, but it is entrusted. God entrusts riches. God entrusts riches. In the kingdom, we do not attain, do not acquire it, but it is entrusted. Luke chapter 16, verse number 11. Luke chapter 16, verse number 11. For ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches and unrighteous mammon. The Bible describes the unrighteous mammon to be money, M-O-N-E-Y. Unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon. Say unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon. He said that if you have not been faithful with money, what is the faithfulness of money? If you don't do what God expects you to do with your money, what am I talking about? I'm talking about your tithing. I'm talking about your worship offerings. I'm talking about your project offerings. I'm talking about your sacrifices. I'm talking about your prophetic offerings. If you are not faithful with your righteous mammon, which is money, who will commit into your hands the true riches? Do you know what the true riches means? The true riches is the blessing that God gives to any man who comes to Him. He gives you that blessing. It is He that gives you the power to become wealth. Now, that power is what produces true riches. Now, if you are not faithful with your salaries in terms or in connection with God, if you are not faithful in paying of tithes, if you are not faithful with your offerings, if you are not faithful with your giving, you will forever remain penury. You will always be poor, because God will not commit to your hands the true riches. Then what should we do? There are things we need to do in order to have or receive the true riches. Channels. Tell somebody there are channels. So as you do the things you need to do with money, God releases the true riches. Show me any kingdom business person or somebody who is committed to God with his love and faithfulness with money concerning God, and I'll show you somebody who is blessed with what? True riches. Somebody's blessed. I said somebody's blessed. Now let's look at an example and then I conclude. Somebody's blessed. The Bible gives account in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 15 to 19. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 15 to 19. The Bible talks about the church in Philippi. This is one of the places that Paul ministered. Now ye Philippians know also, now ye church miracle manner, know this also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and what? But ye only. I pray that this will be said of our church. Amen. There is a church that God is blessing. Members in the church, you can't see any member of that church being poor. Ah, because they were committed in taking care of their servants of God. I'm not asking for any please. But I'm teaching. Tell somebody pastor is teaching. Yes. This is not to inform anybody anything. No. They were committed. They sought the need of Paul and took care of his need. Remember those who were in the first service, we spoke of the church in Macedonia. Praise God. Hallelujah. That out of their need, they gave. Now, the Bible continues. Go to verse number 16. He said that, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto what? My necessity. Wow. We will come to that. Continue to verse number 17. Not because I desire gifts, but I desire fruit that may abound in your account. God doesn't call you to take from you, but to what? No, I want you to put that expression there. But to do what? Well, you are really a Bible student. Praise God. God doesn't call us to take from us, but to add to us. Paul said, I did not desire anything from you. No, not even a gift. I didn't need it. But yet you gave anyway, so that your account will be full. Listen, God expects everybody to be blessed in this house. Don't think that some people must be blessed and you must not be blessed. Are you with me? No. Let me tell you, everybody is destined to be loaded in this house. I pray for the next 6 months, for the next 1 year, may you begin to compete with those who are already gone ahead in terms of giving here. In the name of Jesus Christ, when the highest bid of any fundraising, may you be there. Wow. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet word, smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well pleasing to God. I'll push this very soon. I'll break it down for you. Then he went on to verse number 19. So for what they did, this is what he said to them. But fall in your hands when you have not worked for it. Don't expect cheap blessings when you have not worked for it. Don't expect manna to fall on your hands when you are not expecting it. Let me tell you something, church. For every blessing, there has to be an early outworking. Is anybody here with me? Before Paul could pray for the people, look at the description. Look at the wedding. Look at the things he said about them. Look at what they did. They actually, like the Macedonians, had to beg him. Take this from us, Pastor. Pastor, we beg of you. Just take this from us. In church, you expect to be given. You expect to receive. Now, it's time to push you to give. You to give. Is anybody here with me? Now look, the Bible says, Paul's prayer. But my God. Personal, possessive. But my God shall supply. Anybody who gives to God never run out of supply. Never run out of supply. Anybody, no matter the amount of money, as it was earlier on stated, it is not the quantity of your offering that matters. I think Abby said on that. But the say the quality. And not even the quality of the substance, but the quality of the heart that gives. The difference between everybody that gave that day at the offering and at the service. And the woman, the widow that came to give, is that they gave out of their abundance. They gave out of their abundance. I have 100 cedis. So first offering, I'll give 20. Second offering, I'll give 10. And I'll take the 7 cedis when I close to church. You see that dear who joined there? Go and have fun. Alice, I need to reserve some for dear who. Tell somebody dear who. How many of you heard the word dear who? Adia Eden Ehu. You spend the whole 70 cities on dear who. Somebody's blessed. Is not about, sorry. How many me 30? What the 70? A good idea. I hope that's a man true be our. Amen. Somebody's blessed.
Hallelujah.
Now listen. Listen. My God shall supply, not some, not part, not half. Hush. Are there people with an all need here? And there is a grace of supply for all needs. My God shall supply all your needs. It can be an academic need. It can be a marital need. It can be a career need. It can be whatever need. Every need. Every need in this house, by reason and virtue of the word of God. Every need. Whatever need you stand in need of. Every need be supplied. Every need be supplied. Father, supply every need according to the quality of our heart. Lord, supply. Meet everybody now in the name of Jesus in this month. Oh God, my Father, I pray for your people that let every kind of need be met. Whatever need you stand in need of, may God supply. May he supply in the name of Jesus. My God shall supply all my needs according to his glory. He will keep his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh. Oh, you two are in the old school, right? My God Is that your prayer? Come on, is that your prayer? According to his riches in glory. Come on, he will keep his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. I want us to do this prayer. My God shall supply. Come on, if you believe he will supply, just wave your hands to him. According to his riches and glory. Come on, he will keep his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. He cares for you. He's supplying. I know there are many who have given and given and given and given, and yet you've not seen anything. This is your time of perfection. He's supplying. And when he's supplying, he doesn't supply according to your need. He doesn't supply according to your need, nor does he supply according to your bank account. He doesn't supply according to your level of education. Come on, something is happening here. Neither does he supply according to the level of your experience. Ghana, you are well paid by the level of your qualification or your experience. But God supplies in accordance not to your riches, but to his riches. I don't know about you. God has enough blessings to take care of every need that you could ever be. He doesn't give you according to your size. What he simply means is that, you know what? Whatever you need, I'm giving you a blank check signed. I'm giving you a blank check signed. Now, if you have a blank check signed, it means that you have the ability to be able to write any amount. Me that God's account can never go bad. Therefore, whatever you need, write it. Just write it. Just write it. Never think that this person has written $10,000,000 and that person has written $20,000,000 and another person has written 50,000 euros and another person has written this and that and that, and for that matter the account has run dry. Anybody here, God says, I'm giving you a blank check. I wish I have the right people in this house. Anyway, I didn't come for everybody. You can leave it or accept it, but this morning God says, if you go by giving to the Lord, he himself will supply. Not according to your riches, but his riches. I said, but his riches. I don't know what you need, but let every need be supplied. I said, let every need be supplied. Come on, let every need be supplied. Is anybody here with me? Let every need be supplied. In the name of Jesus Christ. the Son of the Living God, receive. The result of their giving brought them or committed God to supply. There is a level of giving that commits God to all his resources. Write it. There's a level of giving that commits God to all his resources. Thank you, Jesus. Before I come back to Philippians 4:15 and I close, Jeremiah 3:16, Jeremiah chapter 3. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, and in those days, says the Lord, they shall say no more, that the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. God says, I should tell you, it is your time for increase and multiplication. Now, what goes into your giving? Quickly, let's outline them, and I leave you for the next weeks that is ahead. What is the proof of your giving? Write that. What is the proof of my giving? What is the proof of my giving? What is the proof of my giving? From the scriptures we just read, from Philippians 5 to 19, they gave tirelessly. Paul described the giving of the Philippi church, that they gave tirelessly. Your giving must be done tirelessly, which means that you should not be tired when you give. You shouldn't give today and say, "Ah, I cry a bread." You know, yeah, maybe you. They give tirelessly. They give tirelessly. Look at verse number 16. Verse 16, that will be there. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and what? Oh, if you are here, just speak back to me. You sent what? Again. Once and again. Not once, but again. Not once, but again. Not once, but again. So when you give again. Tell somebody, when you give again. Number two, they gave consistently. They gave consistently. Their giving was consistent. It wasn't, it was consistent. Monthly, they were paying their tithes. Monthly, they were giving their prophetic seed. Monthly, they were, every Sunday, they were giving offering. You know, it was consistent. And we call this targeted giving. Targeted what? Giving. Targeted giving. They targeted their giving. They planned their giving. And therefore, they gave consistently. Number three, what is the proof of your giving? They gave with understanding. They gave with understanding. They didn't just give, but they gave with understanding. In the morning, I made a statement which was very profound. That if you give without love, you give what? With what? Those who are here. Do you remember that statement?
May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Wow. They gave it what? Understand. Praise God. Amen. So we must also give it what? Understand. Don't give because people are giving. When you do that, you will not be blessed. Give with understanding. I'm giving towards this purposely for this. I'm giving because I love God. I'm giving because I'm expressing my love to God. I'm giving. Not because, Charlie, where is the money? They come and dump it. No. Praise God. Number four, they gave sacrificially. They gave sacrificially. They gave sacrificially. They gave sacrificially. Somebody's blessed. I don't need to bore you much. Next week will be better. Somebody's blessed. Be on your feet. Then give glory to God by clapping unto Jesus. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.